Right now, global demand for aquatic food is surging by about 3% every single year.
Yeah, it's a massive jump.
I mean, that outpaces human population growth, and it actually even outpaces terrestrial meat production. So you are looking at a future where we need vastly more seafood, but producing it presents this, well, this brutal aquaculture trilemma.
Right, the classic impossible triangle. You want to boost food production, decrease water pollution, specifically, nitrogen and phosphorus, and reduce CO2 emissions.
Exactly, but historically you can really only pick two of those, which is why today we are doing a custom deep dive into a recent Nature food study analyzing China's aquaculture industry, because, well, they are the world's largest seafood producer.
They are. And the stakes here couldn't be higher, really. This isn't just some overseas agricultural policy. It is, well, it's the exact blueprint for how humanity plans to keep seafood on your dinner plate without cooking the planet.
Right. So to meet that exploding demand we just talked about, the global industry had to intensify, and they did it quickly. They started relying heavily on these high-density setups like recirculating aquaculture systems, or RAS.
Yeah, RAS. I mean, it's basically like putting the ocean on life support.
Like an indoor factory.
Exactly. You are constantly pumping, filtering, and aerating the exact same water in closed tanks just to keep the fish alive.
Which makes sense if you think about it, like moving from a simple backyard garden to a high-tech facility. But if systems like RAS are so incredibly efficient at saving land and fresh water, why are they considered part of the problem?
It comes down to the energy. Running massive water pumps and biofilters 24/7 requires, well, just colossal amounts of electricity, and that heavily spikes CO2 emissions.
Oh, right. So you solve the water problem but completely shatter your emissions goals.
Exactly. And conversely, if farmers stick to low-energy pond systems just to save on carbon, they have another problem. Those farms often dump raw, untreated nitrogen and phosphorus directly into local waterways.
Wow.
Yeah, so as shrimp and fish farming scales up, the energy and pollution footprints just skyrocket.
So if both high-tech and low-tech farming are breaking the environment in totally different ways, how does a country like China plan to hit its 2060 carbon neutrality goal? I mean, without starving its population?
Well, the study outlines this fascinating two-phase master plan. Phase one is what they call ecological transformation, which is running right now until they hit peak carbon emissions around 2030.
Okay, and phase two.
Phase two is green aquaculture, taking over post-carbon neutrality. The core of both phases actually involves moving finfish farms out of nearshore areas. They want to push them into deeper offshore waters where they can directly harness renewable wave and wind energy.
That makes a lot of sense. But I know the real heavy lifting in this plan comes from massively scaling up bivalve farming, so things like oysters, mussels, and clams.
Oh, absolutely. Bivalves are the secret weapon here because they act as natural water filters.
Right, they are filter feeders. But how exactly does that work as a carbon sink?
Well, they literally vacuum up excess nitrogen by eating microalgae in the water. But more importantly, as they grow, they extract carbon dioxide that's dissolved in the ocean to build their calcium carbonate shells.
Wait, really? So they essentially act as natural, conditional carbon sinks that clean the water simply by existing.
Yeah, exactly. It's brilliant.
But wait, I have to push back a little here. If the plan involves deliberately restricting the growth of traditional high-yield coastal fish farms to meet these eco goals, doesn't the math dictate a massive food shortage?
You would completely think so, but the study's modeling reveals a really surprising outcome. They looked at adjusting the annual growth rates of six specific farming systems.
Like what exactly?
Well, for instance, having the growth of nearshore fed aquaculture while boosting bivalve farming by 20%. And with those tweaks, total food production by 2050 actually goes up.
Wait, total yield increases while emissions peak by 2030 and then drop.
Yes, and the land and fresh water required to produce each kilogram of food plummets. The entire supply chain basically gets rewired.
That is incredible. So the seafood you see in your local grocery store is about to undergo a massive invisible revolution, shifting away from resource-heavy fish and toward naturally purifying shellfish, all powered by offshore renewables.
That's the goal, and a total transformation of how we think about aquatic food.
And here's where it gets really interesting to think about for the future of our diets. If bivalves are naturally purifying our oceans and locking away carbon in their shells just by growing, will oysters and mussels eventually replace beef as the ultimate eco-friendly staple protein? It really looks like, with a little ecological engineering, we can have our seafood and eat it too.